But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WIP breaking news.
Oh, we got some big breaking news here, Hugh. The Eagles are opening the practice window for Brandon Graham to return for Super Bowl 59. All right, so they have their first practice today of the week, and the Eagles have opened this practice window. Now, to be fair, opening a practice window doesn't mean necessarily anything. It's just he's eligible now to be activated before the next game, which obviously would be the Super Bowl here. Hugh, what's your read on this? I mean, I asked you, you wouldn't spill the beans on Tuesday when you said you knew, and well, now the practice window's
that's
open.
That's what he talked about.
Okay.
He said, you know, he was working towards that. And, you know, BG's forever the optimist.
Yes.
I've had a similar injury, but it was my bicep. And I think the biggest thing that he's going to have to work on is the fatigue factor, like that arm. Like strengthening that arm so that it won't be a factor in the game. Because I think he mentioned something about the fact that he's been doing cardio and it's been easier because it hasn't been a lower body injury.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times with defensive linemen or any lineman, that's the biggest fear is like when you can't move your legs and do that cardio, that's when you tend to, their weight tends to tick up a little bit. So he's been staying in shape as far as that's concerned. So it's a strength thing now. And if he's able to hold the blocks and at the point of attack and do some of the things that he did before he got hurt.
So I think there's two elements to this. One, there's the emotional element, and then the two, there will be the on-field element. Hugh, the emotional element's going to be awesome. Like, if he's activated and he's in uniform and he's going to be playing, or at least, you know, up and in uniform for the game, like, could you imagine the reaction of the Eagles fans in that building in Louisiana in a couple weeks if he's leading the defense out of the tunnel?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
That's what they want to do, man. You know, because Brandon Steele's kind of wishy-washy about what he's going to do as far as his career is concerned. And if he can go out there and go out on top, man, I mean, that's probably one of the best swan songs you can have, for real.
The other thing is Brandon has shown an ability, and he's played a long time, to bounce back from some pretty significant injuries, right? He tore his knee when he was young. I think it was 2012.
Yeah.
And then he came back and obviously had a very long career. But he also tore his knee in, what was that, 21? And then came back in 22 and had a career high in sacks. I mean, some players just heal quicker and can get through injuries. And I hope he plays. Boy, it'd be a boost here. I would guess if he does get activated to you and he plays and they feel good about him, he would take some snaps from Jalix Hunt, because Hunt's been the guy that's taken the most snaps, I would say,
you know what,
since
to be honest,
he came out.
And I hate to say this, but because I've been big fan of this guy since he's been here.
Are we saying goodbye to the take or the whole thing? Is it over?
Well, it's I mean, hey. Damn, Kyle, I didn't mean that right now.
It did.
But if it's, listen, if it's between BG and Bryce Huff, Bryce Huff wearing street clothes.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, and y'all know I sat here a couple of days ago, said he's going to have a couple sacks.
I know, laughed at you, yeah.
You laugh at me every day. That ain't no big deal. So if BG could play, man, then I'm going to be like, hey, Bryce, thank you.
Yeah, man, it's quite a story. And then there's two sides of that story. One, it's BG's back, right? The other side is the Eagles are so good they could deactivate a $53 million pass rusher. And no big deal.
But, you know, that's just me. They probably won't because of that fact.
Well, but someone's got to sit.
Now, if we're talking about an all-hands-on-deck situation, and I'm looking at one-armed BG.
I mean, give him an arm and a half. Well, he's healthy now.
One-armed BG who probably is not at full strength. And Bryce Huff, I like Bryce a lot.
You're just asking for the poll. Who would you rather activate for Super Bowl 59, one-arm Brandon Graham or Bryce Huff?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm getting ahead of it.
It's one-arm Brandon Graham.
Yeah, I'm playing with one-arm Brandon. And if you – because I know how petty Kyle is. Mm-hmm. Kyle, if you put that poll up, it has to be one-arm Brandon Graham. It has to be.
I mean, I'm voting for one-arm Brandon Graham.
That's the only way.
So who would you rather take – who do you want taking more snaps in Super Bowl 59?
One-arm Brandon
Bryce
Graham?
Bryce Huff or one-arm Brandon Graham?
The votes are going to come in like 90-10, one-arm Brandon Graham. To be totally clear, he does have both his arms. Just one
he
might
does,
not be as strong.
And you know what? And you have to be with some of these folks on the internet. They'd be like, what do you mean? What happened to his arm? Come on, dog. It's a joke.
Yeah, it did. We're just kidding. But it's awesome that Brandon Graham is there opening
really,
this practice
really
window.
Is.
So that'll add intrigue to the practices over the next couple days and into next week. What he's listed as, is he full? Is he limited? I'd guess limited because he hasn't practiced in a while. But we'll see. But Brandon Graham is now activated off of the injured list, and he is his window to practice is open. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's take a phone call, and then we got to let you hear a couple things from J.C. Kelce this morning on the morning show. One, giving extra credit to someone that we don't talk that much about when it comes to Saquon's season and his impact. And then, of course, a little emotion from J.C. Kelce this morning. Saquon Barkley, has he already surpassed Bryce Harper on the all-time list of Philadelphia free agents? I'm not ready to say it yet. Let me watch the Super Bowl. He runs for 150 against Bags, and they win the game. I will obviously consider saying he's the standard now for free agent signings. I'm not there yet. And who should be the favorite in the game? We know the Chiefs are. I think it's wrong. The Eagles are the better team. They should be the favorite in the game. Let's go to the phone lines. And by the way, 67% voting for Saquon on this poll over Bryce. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
What's going on, man?
What's up, man? What's up, man? Hey man, if y'all taking Brandon Graham or Bryce Huff, I'm taking BG all day, man. Only thing Bryce Huff and huffing all year is air.
One arm Brandon Graham.
Man, we going on one arm Brandon Graham on that one.
Yeah, one arm. I like one arm Brandon Graham.
No question.
I like that, man. And we know Brandon Graham will bring a more of a spiritual impact to the game. I don't care if he can go, but my thing is I want to make sure that he's fully healed. I want him to go out there re-injuring nothing. Are not able to contribute to the game. You feel what I'm saying?
So here's the thing. I think that the emotional impact of Brandon, Terrence, is a huge thing.
That's like huge.
Huge. And we're not – I can't imagine he's going to play a lot of snaps if he does make it back and they activate him. What are we talking about, 10, 15 snaps?
Oh, yeah, but that's all that matters, man.
I know, and it could be a big moment that he's in. I mean, and Terrence, we know in big game he can make a big play. We've seen it on the biggest stage.
Yeah, man, and my thing is, I heard you talking about the line and everything. I don't want to be the favorite because I feel like every time a Philly sports team is favorite, they end up blowing the game. So I like that they got that the underdog because they haven't had the underdog in 2017 and we got the best team right now. My thing is, when the last time we saw a Super Bowl game where somebody got their ass whooped? When was the last time we saw that? The last couple of years, it's been pretty close games, three-point games, one-touchdown games. I can't remember. Probably like 7 years since somebody really got dominated, and he showed who the best team was. So I like the fact that we're on an underdog trajectory for this game. And for you guys asking about Bryce and Saquon, right now, I think they're neck and neck, man. I feel like if Saquon wins this Super Bowl, he's going to surpass the Braves by a lot, because we all know Bryce Harper has been there, and my thing is they've been choking the last couple of years. So in 1 year, if Saquon can get there and win it, he's going to surpass Bryce by a long shot, man. Because I feel like the impact he's brought to this team, I feel like he's complimented Jalen, but I feel like also Jalen has complimented Saquon. Saquon has never had an offensive line like this. He's never had – I mean, Daniel Jones ain't Jalen Hurts, man. So I feel like he came this year with rejuvenated energy. We all know the saying they said about Saquon. He was injury-prone. He couldn't stay on the field. All these guys got all these things against him. AJ Brown, problem child. Jalen Hurts, not a good quarterback.
He's going to get a speech. I hear the Super Bowl
Nick
speech
Sirianni.
Now.
Nick Sirianni. He's a bad coach.
He's a bubblehead.
Some idiot all talk show guys, host was trying to fire him in week five. It's crazy.
All these guys have the chance right now to shut all that up. Mm-hmm. They have the chance right now to close everybody's mouth. And my thing is, what you going to say now? When the Eagles win a Super Bowl, what you going to say now? But my thing is, you're there right now. You got to win it. Because if you don't win it, we're pretty much going down Buffalo Bills territory or Philadelphia Phillies territory. We're getting there, and we're not winning it. So my thing is, Saquon Barkley, if he wins his Super Bowl, he has to win it. And one more thing, man. I heard you talk about Kelce.
Hmm?
Man, Kelce the dude, man. I don't know if y'all saw that guy when he had on that Kelly Green velour and he was doing that dance. Man, that guy is hilarious, man. Jason Kelce's the man, man.
He's awesome. Yeah, Terrence, we appreciate the phone
call. No, he's a people's champ, no question.
Speaking of Kelce, he was in studio this morning with Joe and John on the morning show, and he was talking about Saquon and Jalen, but I thought it was interesting the way he framed the impacts Jalen has on Saquon, because we're talking about today about Saquon, his impact, and maybe the best free agent signing in decades here in Philadelphia. I still think he's a little bit behind Bryce, but you know, we don't usually hear this much praise to someone who's helping Saquon be what Saquon is. Here it was this morning.
For me, like Jalen, I think Jalen never gets enough credit for a lot of the things he does for this offense, and I don't. You know, Saquon Barkley would not have the season he had without having Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, and that's the reality of it. And he never gets credit for that, and a little bit, but all of that goes to the offensive line and Saquon. Mm-hmm. The reality is his threat as a runner, his threat as an RPO person, all of that stuff opens up so many other things.
Hugh, that was strong. I mean, it was similar, Hugh, what we heard from Seth Joyner a couple days ago, right? Mm-hmm. That Jalen Hurts is checking them into the right play. But he was talking about there the threat of Jalen as a runner has really helped Saquon be this good this year.
Yeah, and we saw that in the first game, or the second game, I should say, against the Commodores, when Jalen went out, how it changed things. Even though, you know, it was tough sledding for Saquon, but he still managed to get over 100 yards in that game. Jalen adds dimension, and we talked about this when we were talking about the matchup of them and the Kansas City Chiefs, how Spags is going to have to attack this team.
Yep.
You can't send the defensive ends on seek and destroy missions to try to stop the run. You have to play sound gap control football. You're gonna take your chances, but you don't want Jalen pulling the ball out, or you know them getting you with the play action fake and Jalen running an end around or something like that, because he still has that ability. So it's gonna put a wrinkle in what you initially want to do when you're trying to stop the run.
So what you're saying there, and what Jason said, that's why of all the different comps that have been used for Saquon coming to the Eagles, the one I always thought is the best one is Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. The Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant, right? They were good. They had set the wins record with Harrison Barnes, who was just a guy at small forward. It's kind of like the Eagles got to the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. They won 11 games with DeAndre Swift, they're fine, right? They're nice running backs, but they're not special. And like again, the Warriors didn't need that guy, but once it all worked and they came together, it's like, how do you stop that team? How do you stop that offense? And that's at times been Eagles, especially this past Sunday against the Washington Commanders. All right, 215-592-9494. We had another thing from Kelce here this morning. He got pretty emotional. Can we hear this, Kyle, with the emotion of Jason Kelce this morning with Joe and John?
Everything flashes before you before a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You can't help but think back. And you think about, how am I here? How am I fortunate enough and lucky enough to be here?
Yeah.
And then you think about your teammates and everybody else, and it's a very overwhelming experience, you know, being on the biggest stage of your profession. And I imagine anybody feels that way, right? Like, no matter what you do, if you get to that point where you have the opportunity to be known as like the best in the entire world of whatever you do, it's a feeling that is, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you've put a lot into it, it's going to mean a lot to you. We've dedicated a lot of hours and time and commitment and travel and, You know, you've foregone a lot of other things in your life.
We hear you, man. Take a moment, Jason. John, you've been through this. I mean, you know what it's like.
It's an emotional man.
Well, that's, and it happens on the station sometimes.
You know what? They make a lot of people cry, man. That's
morning show?
I ain't never going on the morning show. They invoke emotional responses that aren't, you know, put you in precarious situations.
Sometimes emotion leads to more emotion. Like if you see someone cry, you cry.
Yeah, but that was what I was just going to say. Like, Joe tried to go to Richie there to jump in. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised Richie wasn't a mess hearing Jason cry.
Well, we know, and we've had that. There's something, I think it
bunch
shows
of criers.
It shows that Jason is, Kelsey, is really truly ingrained here at WIP now.
He's a sensitive individual.
Well, he's not the only one. Let's hear some of the best cries at WIP.
Not at my time.
Can we hear DeCamera after the Eagles won the Super Bowl back in February 2018?
That meant everything to me. Go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. It's just very emotional.
Well, that was the beginning
Did
of
you
yeah.
hear this man?
And he was very, as you, let's hear it again. He said he was very emotional there, Hugh.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
That's just the weirdest cry that I've ever heard.
Okay. Well, it was a Eagles Super Bowl cry.
Yeah.
A little different than most cries. Then, of course, when Jason Kelsey retired, we know John Ritchie had this famous cry.
This is like uncharted territory for me to be like, unable to function.
Were you in Joe DeCamera territory of
absolutely?
Did you cry?
I was bawling.
A lot of people did. I know they
all-timer.
Did.
All-timer.
I mean, this is really. I mean, that's not what he's myself a little
when
bit
he,
because
he's not that snot back in.
Now. Wow. This nasty. Morning, talking to Joe Wechter, we're walking in.
the best part.
He said, "How you doing?"
Not Joe Wechter.
I'm trying to laugh this off. It's not.
You ain't making it. You ain't make it.
There is also, so it's not the first time that DeCamera, or the last time DeCamera's cried.
Yeah, what do we have
you
here?
You know what you always gets him? They do the Phillies montage before
opening
the
day.
Season starts.
Yeah, it's all the great calls in history. Yeah.
He never makes it. Never.
You burned. Okay.
Yeah, it's like the beast came out.
You know what that is?
God, it was great.
That's real. That is real. That is not put on by anybody. And the personalities that you saw, they were all real. Yeah. And that montage we just heard, my buddy Joe just sent me a text. All he wrote was goosebumps.
Yeah.
It's real.
So, John, this is the first time, and I'm really close right now. You might get my first time on the show, morning show crying, because I'm getting...
That meant everything to me.
I'm getting really close here.
Phones, 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm getting very emotional.
Listen, I'm just telling you, man.
It gets old. No, it never does. Let it out, buddy.
It's coming.
They're coming.
Yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah, I'm crying.
Yes.
So the first official cry.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
We did it.
Listen.
We did it, guys.
I love the Phillies, man.
Welcome to the Joe DeCamera experience.
I love the Phillies,
wow.
man.
John's
this is our team.
Laugh. Was it now? I'm trying to remember. Was
I think this was after the... John's. No, so this opening day would have been... I think
that was March 30th is what it's dated.
Kelsey
in the
retired
system,
before so, that. Yeah. They did the press conference before that.
This is really
Yeah, John maybe glass is throwing stones at glass houses there. Do we have one more recent one here? Maybe the afternoon show? This is what they would call a disputed cry,
yes.
right?
By the individual. Yeah, but we know this is his guy. So.
Yeah, this is Spike defending Daryl Morey, and I think he got choked up.
He succeeded here. You know, Daryl Morey did a good job to get them into this position. He has to finish the job, but this when he got here, this was not a fix this in 6 months situation. And it might be the last time I say it, but when he got here, he had $120 million a year committed to Ben Simmons, Al Horford, and Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. That's the whole cap. That is not, you can't build a championship team with those three guys representing essentially the entire salary cap.
Yeah.
And I commend him for setting up a situation they would succeed. But also, I have something in my throat. I'm not
crying, you
idiot.
No, a little bit choked up.
Yeah, it sounded like a little bit of
a little crying. So here's the question. Who is the next WIP personality to cry on air? I mean, we could have the usuals. I mean, if I had put money on it, it'd be the morning show.
Yeah. Well, so I guess that sort of making me wonder because Spike's guys, Daryl Morey, made him cry. Mm-hmm. Jason Kelsey obviously touched the heart of John Ritchie.
Yeah.
Would it be Howie that you get choked up talking about one day?
So... I was trying to think back. Have I ever come close to that kind of emotion
a
on the air?
Sports cry?
No, I don't think I have. Though, I have to tell you, and you know, if you remember this take of mine back in there, you won't be surprised. When I did the 16 straight hours on Gabe Kapler Day, guys, I've never experienced what it felt like to be on the, like, 16 straight hours of talking. I felt drunk by the end. I felt like, I don't know, my body felt weird. It was a long time to talk.
You know,
so I felt a little weird, and I don't know, maybe my voice went in and out that last hour defending Gabe for 16 hours.
I think we could get somebody to bring you to Angry Tears.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Embiid.
Oh, no.
Fun about Joel Embiid here.
Was it Jay? Jay can definitely make you.
Why?
Well, irritated cry.
Well, yeah, I'd be a pool of sweat.
I could
by
see
the
angry
end.
Tears from Joel Embiid. Yeah. You know what? Maybe Trey. The Trey fights could bring you to tears.
That might
man.
Be. I mean, we got 9 more years, guys. 9 more years of Trey Turner's contract. I might just cry watching him play between now and the end of this contract. If it's not me, who's it going to be? Morning show. Who hasn't cried yet? Do you think could cry on the air?
I don't know. Maybe some of the overnight guys, but Dolly's cried before.
He's cried before?
That's a
Is
cry?
That him crying?
That's a cry? What is that?
That don't sound that don't sound like a cry.
Are you doubting the authenticity of Jolly's cry?
I mean, I'm not going to share what I think it is.
But it's a family show.
It don't sound like a cry.
It's a family show, Hugh.
It sound,
family show.
That's me self-editing.
But Jolly has a tendency to get like very emotional over the air.
Yeah.
That,
oh, my God.
I'm going to turn my mic off for about 2 seconds. That right there does not sound good.
And then my favorite
when
drop.
You splice them all together, that makes it even worse. It's so childish.
What? I still want to know what happened to John Johnson to get that noise.
So I think I found out it was Fran wearing a Diamondbacks jersey. I think he was wearing a Randy Johnson jersey, producing a show. Well, the Phillies were in the, yeah.
No, listen, Randy Johnson was awesome. Having that jersey in your collection, I'm
I'd
okay
have
with
that reaction too.
But not that way.
I can understand, John.
What are we doing? All right. Go back to the phones. Andy in Westchester. What's up, Andy?
Andy?
Andy? Don't make me cry.
Andy's too busy crying.
He has a pool of tears. Andy, we'll put you on hold. Philly Rob's up. What's up, Philly Rob?
You guys are cracking me up, boy.
A lot of crying going on around here.
There's a lot of tears flowing in. Y'all got me crying now, boy. Laughing, crying. This is crazy.
Oh, who's your favorite WIP cry? Is it Richie?
Oh, it was Richie. I was like, no, John, don't do it.
It was so good.
Richie had me in stitches, though, man. And y'all keep playing it. It just cracks me up even more. But no, man, this is a great show, man. I'm telling you, guys have been going crazy this morning. I love it.
Well, thank
and
you for listening.
Kyle was asking me what's going on. I said, man, Bryce has proven himself to be worth what he is. Saquon is getting there. He's proving that he's worth what he got. So I say we're going to get that ring, and everything is going to be just beautiful, baby.
And then we'll all be crying together. And we'll cry together after we get a ring.
We have a big hug and a cry together.
We can all cry at the parade, Philly Rob, and that's it.
Oh, my God. Yes. Let the tears stream, baby. Good. It'll be number 2.
Super Bowl 2, and we all be crying. Philly Rob, we appreciate it. How about that? He's crying tears listening to these guys cry on the air.
Yeah, that jolly cut is just bad.
One more time, can we hear that before we
It just sounds so bad.
It sounds almost like I have like this sense that we shouldn't play it on the air.
Like, yeah, it's so cringy.
Well, then just tuning in and hearing that, like, oh my God, like, what did they do?
The hell they do? What the hell is going on? Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot.
What caused that? I mean, like I've yelled before too, but that feels like there's more stuff wrong, and it's coming out at work.
That might be a favorite drop I've ever
heard. I'm telling you, that's not about the show. That's not about work.
In a Two Live Crew video. You remember the Two Live Crew?
All right. 215-592-9494. Has Saquon Barkley already passed Bryce Harper in the rankings of the greatest Philadelphia sports signings ever? I don't think so. He needs a Super Bowl to get there. It's an all-time season. He's a great player. But Bryce Harper revived a franchise, not just had a great season.
Resurrection.
He did. I saw Bryce above him. Where did he come down? And I think he should be the favorite in the game. Did Vegas get it wrong? Who should be the favorite? All your phone calls here. You can even share your favorite WIP cry with us. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. And if you missed it earlier, BG, practice window open. He might be able to play in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about it all on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, Hugh, has it really hit that we're going to be in New Orleans somehow, some way in a few days?
No, it's not going to hit until we actually get to the airport and then we land in what you call them.
New Orleans?
Yeah, because you know, at this point, that's the way we're getting there. Because we ain't driving no bus. I'm sorry.
Is anyone give us clarification how we're getting there?
Oh, no, I just gave you clarification. We're getting on the plane. Because let me tell you,
you're breaking everyone's heart today.
No, because what I know is when I said something about the bus, everybody looked at me like I was speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. So that just let me know right there that.
Well, there's trains.
Joe, does the train go to New Orleans?
I have no idea. I'm just saying, you're assuming a plane now.
Oh, yeah, that's the only, because I know they don't want me to drive because I got to come back. Like, I would drive.
We got a show to do Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll get there. Like, I leave Friday after the show. Like, I'll get there before next week. I'll get there before Monday. But
the Friday show, if we're there Monday to Thursday,
that's what I'm saying. That's going to be pushing. Mm-hmm.
You got to be there. It's a pep rally day. So, man. It's a big day.
I'll be pushing it, so I don't think I can make it back. But I could definitely get us there.
Okay, how's the packing situation going?
I ain't packing. I ain't packed yet.
Are you a pack 3 days before or a pack 2 hours before? I'm closer
probably,
to 2 hours.
I'll probably pack Saturday. Because, I mean, you know, we've already ruled out that I can't wear pajamas. So
because you don't want to get picked up as a pop-pop.
I don't
want to
get picked up as a pop-pop. So
especially when I'm the one calling. You know, pop-pop missing.
So I'll probably bring some clothes. This is the thing, though. I got to figure out which J's I want to take with me. Because I don't, you know, you don't want to get no creases in your J's.
My son, we got him J's for his birthday.
How did he like? What kind you get him? I mean, which ones? What color?
It's the black and gold. I'll show you.
But
he's into the whole creases thing now.
Yeah, the kids don't like the creases.
He was walking. I thought he was going to fall down the way he was because he was like.
He didn't want to crease the shoes.
So I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't want to get creases.
I'm not that guy. I don't care about the creases.
Plus, he's 10, he could fall and get back up. You fall, there's a problem.
I'm
calling life alert.
It's a wrap. There's a lot of people that wear Jordans, man. The creases. They do not like to crease them. They wear the crease guards. They wear the things in the tip of their shoes to keep them from creasing.
He finds out I'm going to have to buy a crease guard. All right, before we go any further, look, I think the Eagles should be the favorite in this game. I think every number points to they're the better team. But obviously, the Chiefs are in the middle of something pretty special here, a dynasty. Let's hear the dynasty talk on Get Up. We got to take down one of the greatest dynasty ever. Let's hear this.
Listen, I was part of a dynasty. Even I said in the meeting, they go out here and finish the deal. They're the greatest dynasty. In the history of the NFL. Yeah. I mean, if they go out here and win a Super Bowl, they've done something even the Patriots dynasty has never done. Win 3 straight Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Think about that. In professional football, with all of these great quarterbacks, all these great teams, for a team to go out there and possibly to win 3 straight Super Bowls, it's ridiculous. It's unheard of. It's unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, it's never been done. It's never been done. And what we're seeing is, look, especially with the moving parts in today's game, right, the salary cap and all that, it's impossible to do what they're doing, and yet they're doing.
Everything we say about Bill Belichick, we have to say about Andy Reid. It is as well prepared, as well coached, and as well executing in situational football as a team that we've ever seen.
All right, Hugh, let's attack this from a couple things.
Right on the line.
Well, we're trying to prevent that from happening. First, do you agree with them? If the Chiefs win, is this the best dynasty ever? So we have the 70 Steelers, you got the 49ers in the 80s, you got the Cowboys in the 90s, you got the Patriots of the 2000s, and now the Chiefs. Is this the best?
I hear what they're saying about the three-peat.
Because no one's ever done it.
But man, it's something to be said about the evolution of Tom Brady.
And the longevity.
The longevity, the multiple receivers, was it Julian Edelman's and the Wes Welkers of the world?
Who's the beginning? It was David Patton and Troy Brown.
Man, there's something to be said about that, man. And, you know, I know we're all prisoners of the moment, but I hear what they're saying because of the year that Patrick Mahomes had. And not only that, for me having a little bit more insight on it, the focus that he's had and what I heard that he had immediately after the ring celebration, the ring ceremony. You know, so there's something to be said about that and the way that you got here. So I hear what they're saying. So, yeah, I guess with all that being said, yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
So the way I view it is they're in the greatest run, like a three-year run ever. Okay? No one's ever won 3 in a row.
There's something, though, about the Patriots doing it over a lot of time, right? Yeah. It was 20 years, different iterations.
The Patriots were the team that you was like, damn, after a while, you was like, man, what, why we got to see them all the time?
And they fell a little bit, and then they came right back and kept going again.
It was a nice run. And it's so recent. When you talk about all those other runs, you're talking about a while ago.
70s, like the Steel Curtain,
Pittsburgh Steelers and all the other stuff. So you had the Steelers run, and then you had like 10 to 15 years of a drought. This is almost on the heels.
It was right after.
Yeah, it's on the heels of what the Patriots did. And so that's why it lives fresh in everybody's mind. But I think the three-peat thing, if they do it, which they're not, that would put them over the top.
The craziest part is when you think about the times they haven't won since Mahomes became the starter. They lost to the Patriots in overtime in the 2018 title game. So they were nearly in the Super Bowl that year. And then they lost to Joe Burrow at home in the second half of a title game. And they lost to Brady in the Super Bowl, right? Of the 7 years that Mahomes has been a starter, the three they haven't got to or won the Super Bowl, they were right there. I mean, they were either in it or they lost in the title game. It is a ridiculous 7-year run to start a career. 7 straight title games? I mean, my goodness.
And he can lead a game today. He going to Ken.
Well, we got
to
stop this. Because you know what? I don't want to hear the debates. Have they passed the Patriots? Is this the greatest dynasty of all time? I do think 3 in a row is. I never thought I'd see 3 in a row. I mean, Hugh, you guys went through this to a little bit lesser extent, but how hard is it to get back up after a long run and to do it all over again? Because you guys kept getting to the title game. They keep getting to the Super Bowl and now trying to win it 3 in a row.
Yeah, it was tough. And I remember the last time that we lost, man. I remember vividly thinking, like, damn. How can I mentally prepare for this kind of letdown again? It was tough. And to think of what they're going through or what they've been through, it's different because they won.
Yeah.
And they actually got over the hump.
Wanted to have the motivation to do it again.
Yes. We didn't get over the hump. And that's what made it hard because we always got to that one point and never got over that hump when I was here until we finally did. And even when we got over it. I think that it's fair to say that a lot of people were just happy at that point just to get past that obstacle because it was so hard to get past. Yeah. Now you have a guy who, like I told you earlier, from a friend of mine told me that he got his ring and it was like, hey, we're going to do it again.
Patrick.
And now he's here. Patrick Mahomes is here again. And it's one of those things, man. It takes a lot of resolve. It takes a lot of fortitude to have that mindset to get back to this point. It's not easy to do. And then you think about the kind of season that he had for him was not statistically wasn't a great season. Wasn't a great season at all.
Well, they lost the number one wide receiver in, like, what was it, September, October, where Rasheed Rice went down? Yeah, it's the way I view it right now, Patriots are one, Chiefs are two. I put these two above the old ones because the salary cap makes it harder. Like, not taken away from the teams the Steelers had. They were amazing, I'm sure. And the Niners with Montana and the Cowboys. But different with a salary cap. It's harder to do this now. The league is set up to stop this, and these teams just keep rolling. 215-592-9494. But the coolest thing is the Eagles can get in the middle of it again, right? They got in the middle of a Patriots three-peat in 2017, and they could stop the three-peat now. The Eagles keep finding their way into the middle of these discussions with these teams going for dynasties or in dynasties. Andy in Westchester's up. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Sorry about that.
Just had a little cry to get out, Andy. No big deal.
You're crying.
I wasn't crying. But I'm not above it.
No, I'm not either. When we do it on the air, we'll play it for everybody.
I'll cry.
Yeah, well, not today. So, anyway, I think I have Saquon on the top. He's done more in his first year than Harper did in the first few years, and neither of them has a ring, if that's what you're going to base it on. Although I fully expect that Saquon will in a couple of weeks.
So you're right on all that, though I do think the degree of difficulty for Harper was harder, right? The Phillies, they were pretty irrelevant when he got here. The Eagles, they have an infrastructure where he could come in here and just be, you know, play like an MVP because everything around him. Bryce did win an MVP in 2021 and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Fair enough. But I just, in terms of, I'm looking at immediate impact, I guess. And that's what, to me, he's the best signing for that reason. And I expect more of him, obviously, in the long run because the Phillies aren't, it doesn't look like they're going to do anything anyway. So, we're running back the same team, essentially. So, I don't expect Harper to really get a ring in the next few years either.
Boy, you know, and then, well, obviously this conversation will be more for the spring and when we get closer to baseball. It'd be such a disheartening and disappointing thing if Bryce doesn't get one, right? You know, just, and I know he's got a lot of years left, but the reality is the last 3 years, Andy, might have been their best shot, and they didn't get one yet.
No. No, I agree. And I wanted to quick go on beyond that on Saquon, just mm-hmm. with the Super Bowl coming, because a lot of people have been talking about the refs and how that's going to pan out, because I don't like blaming refs. I mean, it is frustrating sometimes. You could look at any given play, our defensive line's being held. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But what I was wondering, and it's kind of a question for Hugh, I don't know if either of you guys would know, with the way Mahomes flops,
mm-hmm.
In hockey, there is a penalty for diving. Is there anything like that in football, like an unsportsmanlike? Would they ever call something like that?
I don't believe so. No, I mean, they wouldn't call anything, right? Like, if let's just say the quarterback flops out of bounds, it would be a no call. I don't think, I mean, I guess unsportsmanlike opens it up to if it's egregious.
Yeah, I could see, like, an excessive, like, if you're doing it a lot. And the refs are like, yeah. Hey, dude, you do that again. Like, that's an unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, but I would think, and Andy, it's a good question, good phone call. I would think it's a warning before it's just a flag. I mean, it's so, I mean, I've never seen that. Hugh, could you imagine throwing a flag flop? No,
and I think the way that he does it, it's pretty genius.
It is.
I mean, it's
I would do it too.
Like, I mean, it's like he get pushed a little bit and, you know, you can't get, just like this, think about it like this, people. You can't gauge the power in which the guy's pushing him. Because watching Jalen Carter slap that offensive lineman this weekend, I didn't think he hit him that hard, but obviously he did.
You know, grown man.
I like the idea of a flag for a flop.
Smoke out his ass, though. He slapped smoke out of him.
So, is any sport do that besides soccer? Like basketball?
No, hockey. Hockey, though. You go to the box if you flop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's more precedent. Basketball is the one where you probably see it the most, and they don't do it. They don't call anything. They just, or they could just not call it.
I wish they would, man.
Flopping has ruined the game.
Well, it's just, yeah, like it's.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it would hurt us. I mean, Joel Embiid does it all the time.
Yeah, I'm
Joel Embiid just the size.
Sixers are so like out of sight,
I know,
out of mind.
Like, in big games, Joel will just like he flops.
Sure. So they what is it that the push off foul thing NBA, like they've tried to eliminate that, so they're I guess inching closer to doing something like that. But other than that, I mean, you don't get one for just taking a dive.
No, and here's the thing: nothing's going to change between now and next Sunday. So let's not hit Patrick Mahomes when he's about to fall down, because they're just going to call a foul on the.
Yeah, let's be smart. Let's be smart.
Yeah, the one thing they have to coach up and be ready for, Hugh, is the thing he does when he pretends he's running out of bounds, and then you pull up because you don't want to hit him, and then he just like I'm going to get 4 yards.
Yeah, you got to.
So like, what's the play there? Do you just sort of like make yourself big and try to just usher him out of bounds?
Like a big hug.
Well, make sure he goes out of bounds. But the problem with that is, if you're a DB or somebody, he might try to sun you. He might try to run you over.
Well, you know what? I hope he tries that with Cooper.
Well, we saw with Derrick Henry.
That's right.
If he
could, wouldn't stand a chance.
No, not against the Mighty Whiteys. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
The Mighty Whiteys is so funny.
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Hey, Bruce.
How you doing?
Good, Bruce. What's up?
I'm just going to chime in on this discussion, man. Y'all had me dying laughing on those crying noises earlier, man.
There's a lot of it going on around here, Bruce.
Yeah, that was weird.
Hey, well, no, especially on that morning show. You know, I'm going to tell you, I never called that morning show for a reason. I call you guys, I do the afternoon, and sometimes I chime in the evening. I cannot stand the whiny, and I think it really comes from Joe. On just about all the sports.
We love those guys.
I like Joe.
Yeah, they got their takes. Cool. They got a good show. We love those guys. But when they're crying, we got to play when we get that.
Yeah, when he cried, it is funny.
Yeah. But I'm going to get him after the Super Bowl, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get him. It's going to be hilarious.
I'm sure it'll be funny.
Yeah. This whole thing about, this is an easy answer. When it comes down to Bryce, I mean, he still is the face of the Phillies and the franchise in the city. And see, with Bryce was smart. He said aside from his play, he was smart enough to figure out that he tethered himself to the Philly fanatic, which is really pretty much not only just known in the city but nationally and worldwide. And that's how, you know, it boosted his popularity even more in his marketing of being a guy for the city. But of course, Saquon has to win the Super Bowl. I'm pretty much lockstep with everybody else. When Saquon brings it home, especially, I mean, he's on the verge of, you know, doing two things, breaking that 2,500-yard record. He's going to do that. And when he wins the Super Bowl, there's no doubt, I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he supplants Bryce. Unless they win another championship or something along those lines.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. That's an interesting point. They both have more time, right? We're just kind of in the moment here, and we'll see how it goes. But they, yeah, I mean, Bryce has years to go. I mean, I think Bryce is ahead of him now. But if Bryce wins one, he wins one. We shall see. Bruce, appreciate the call. Bruce brought something different to the conversation that no one's brought up.
What's that?
Well, he's giving extra points to Bryce, and I'm going to use this word. He didn't. For the pandering.
I was thinking when he said it.
Well, I mean, part of his play is enormous. His stature on the team is enormous. He helped him get to a World Series, Bethlehem at the Bank. But part of the connection people have to Bryce Harper isn't just that he's good.
Pandering chief.
Well, like, he embraced the city. And Saquon doesn't have to. Saquon is, like, from Whitehall.
Well, he embraced the city.
No, but right.
But it's in a different, embraced it in a different way.
And I don't think, like, Bryce was... He had no connection to Philadelphia before. Like, this is Saquon's home, right? Yeah. He grew up in the Lehigh Valley. He doesn't probably feel he has to embrace here. He's from here.
Yeah.
But Bryce has done that, and we hear what our callers. People love that.
Yeah, and when I say panda in chief, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not trying to be.
It sounds it.
Well, I've heard other people say it.
And you know, it's a good line.
But that's, yeah, it's a good line, but it's
you know
like,
who I've heard say it? Mad Mike.
Yeah?
Tell you all you need to know. True.
Well, okay, well, if Mad Mike says it, then Bryce, I take it back. I don't, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Because I think it's great. I think people love that. I think that was one of the reasons why, when you got here, people endeared themselves to you.
It definitely is part of the story.
And the fact that, you know, every game, before the game, you're doing the fit check. And you've influenced a lot of people in the way that they dress when they go to the game.
And I hate to bring this up, because he's a changed man. But Bryce used to be a Cowboys fan.
I know. I mean, but no one cares.
It's a problem. How do you know he's not still a Cowboys fan?
Well, I mean, he's embraced the Eagles.
Panda in chief?
I mean, you're right. So, like, we don't know if it's authentic or not.
I mean,
I'd like to think he didn't care as much. Like, I don't think it was a diehard Cowboys fan, so, like, he can't change his stripes.
Yeah, right. My guess is, based on his age, we know he was a Yankees fan growing up. He's talked about that. He wanted to play for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably liked Duke basketball. He probably, like... You know, he liked those teams, the 90s Cowboys. Like, whatever. When he was a kid, he was a kid. I just think it's a part of the story, Hugh, that it's interesting when you look at these two guys. One guy has fully embraced it, and I don't even think Saquon has to because he's from here. But I do think for people, like, the love of Bryce isn't just because he hits 30 high five runs a year. They love him because he loves the city.
Yeah, and he chose us.
Yeah, yes.
And he chose us.
Yep.
And that's why he wanted to get more money before the season started.
You know what's funny you said that? I just saw in the last break an article that Saquon Barkley, after the season, is well within his rights to ask for a contract extension or a new deal.
And who's going to tell him no after he wins the Super Bowl?
Well, I don't know what they would do. They did tell T.O. no with the same situation.
But that was a different regime.
It was Joe Banner.
And you know, Howie, I'll tell you this. I'll say this. I don't know if Saquon is going to ask for more money, but if he was, I like the fact that he's going to ask Howie.
And not Joe Banner.
Yeah. I mean, and I like Joe. But Joe, and I think Joe's learned from his mistakes. But I think Howie has a finger on the pulse of this thing. And I think that he does a better job of communicating the expectations to the players than Joe did.
It is ironic. T.O. was probably the most high-profile free agent to have a huge impact here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He asked for a new contract right after that big year. And that part of
and
the
I
problems.
Think, I think part of the reason why it didn't happen is because Joe felt some kind of way. Joe was a numbers man, like straight up and out. Joe really didn't interact with the players much. Joe didn't come around as much.
And it was only after the first year of the deal. Like maybe if it was
and
later
Joe
on.
Joe was standoffish. Yeah. I think that if Howie was presented to that with that, I think Howie would be more in a position to communicate what the expectations are. Say, hey man, you know, we just paid. You know, I think it would be a better rapport.
I'm sure it wouldn't be as adversarial. Yeah, I mean, also Saquon wouldn't be doing sit-ups in a driveway somewhere. I mean, I don't think it'd get to that point. But I hadn't thought about that. Saquon asking for more money after this season? I mean, if you're going to ever do it, this is the time to do it, right?
I will say this, too. And for Saquon, if he does decide to do that, which, like you say, is well within his rights,
I hope it's not in a way where it is adversarial because, you know, fans hear that and they might feel some kind of way about that.
Well, Bryce is beloved, but a lot of our listeners did not like the I didn't like the request. I mean, you have 8 more years left in your contract. Let's take a deep breath. Let's go to Mad Mike. He heard his bat signal. What's up, Mike?
Hold up. Mad Mike calling in?
He's here.
Heard you in a couple days.
First off, that's my line. I came up with it, and it is meant to be disrespectful because he is the panderer in chief because he's a nerd. So anyway, I'm just looking forward to that first time Saquon breaks a 60-yard touchdown and offensive holding is called, and all the Eagles fans freak out on Twitter. That is what I'm looking forward to.
He's back.
He just wants you just want to watch the world burn.
Really,
Mike.
Really honest with it. The Eagles aren't winning the Super Bowl. They want this three-peat. Kansas City's winning this. The refs are going to help them win it.
Oh,
and
no.
The Eagles will be 0-2 against the Chiefs. And you guys will have to be in the offseason crying, oh, we did all these games. What do we do? And then it's another mess up.
I like how he just dropped the mic and said that.
I know, but I can't handle the idea of us doing 6 months on the refs. If the Eagles lose, it's because of themselves, Mike, not the refs. Come on.
Nope, it's going to be because I'm going to enjoy it anyway because that's definitely what's happening.
Well, of course you are. I mean,
guys, I'm sorry. You know, I'll be really honest. Happy sports talk is the worst. I prefer chaos. I prefer everything up in flames. It's not fun. This is unfun. But and if anything, Jalen Hurts.
He'd
be like, hey, Saquon, take half my contract because I don't deserve it, and you deserve way more money because I stink, and you're the only one making us win.
Well, that's actually kind of interesting. Jalen Hurts pay cut to pay Saquon more. Mad Mike, we appreciate it. How do you think that would go over, Hugh?
I don't know.
Probably not well.
You know what? I was about to say something stupid, but I knew the answer. I was like, oh, Jalen might do that, but I know he's Jalen.
No, he was not going to do that.
Ain't nobody about to do that.
Man. Take a haircut to pay Saquon more. Come on. 215.
I like him. I don't like him that much.
592-9494. Saquon Barkley surpassed Bryce Harper in the all-time Philadelphia free agent list? Not yet. Not for me. Are you there? Should the Eagles be the favorite in this game? Mad Mike painting a harrowing picture of a holding call in the first quarter that's going to make us all flip out. Plus, we come back. We get to an interesting matchup in this game involving Saquon. That's next. Your calls. It is Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
something about the bus, everybody looked at me like I was speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. So that just let me know right there that
well, there's trains.
Joe, well, does a train go to New Orleans?
I have no idea. I'm just saying you're assuming a plane now.
Oh yeah, that's the because I know they don't want me to drive because I got to come back. Like I would drive.
We got a show to do Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll get there. Like I leave Friday after the show. Like it will. I'll get there before next week. I'll get there before Monday. But
the Friday show. If we're there Monday,
yeah,
to
that's
Thursday,
what I'm saying. That's gonna be pushing. Mm-hmm.
You got to be there. It's a pep rally day, so man. It's a big day.
I'll be pushing it, so I don't think I can make it back. But I could definitely get us there.
Okay, how's the packing situation going?
I ain't packing. I ain't packed yet.
Are you a pack 3 days before or a pack 2 hours before? I'm closer
probably,
to 2 hours.
I'll probably pack Saturday. Because, I mean, you know, we've already ruled out that I can't wear pajamas. So
because you don't want to get picked up as a pop-pop.
I don't
want to
get picked up as a pop-pop. So
especially when I'm the one calling. You know, pop-pop's missing.
So I'll probably bring some clothes. This is the thing, though. I got to figure out which J's I want to take with me. Because I don't, you know, you don't want to get no creases in your J's.
My son, we got him J's for his birthday.
How did he like? What kind you get him? I mean, which ones? What color?
It's the black and gold. I'll show you.
But
he's into the whole creases thing now.
Yeah, the kids don't like the creases.
He was walking. I thought he was going to fall down the way he was because he was like.
He didn't want to crease the shoe.
So I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't want to get creases.
I'm not that guy. I don't care about the creases.
Plus, he's 10, he could fall and get back up. You fall, there's a problem.
I'm
calling
rap.
Life alert.
It's a wrap. There's a lot of people that wear Jordans, man. The creases. They do not like to crease them. They wear the crease guards. They wear the things in the tip of their shoes to keep them from creasing.
He finds out I'm going to have to buy a crease guard. All right, before we go any further, look, I think the Eagles should be the favorite in this game. I think every number points to they're the better team. But obviously, the Chiefs are in the middle of something pretty special here, a dynasty. Let's hear the dynasty talk on Get Up. We got to take down one of the greatest dynasty ever. Let's hear this.
Listen, I was part of a dynasty. Even I said in the meeting, they go out here and finish the deal. They're the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. Yeah. I mean, if they go out here and win a Super Bowl, they've done something even the Patriots dynasty has never done. Win three straight Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Think about that. In professional football, with all of these great quarterbacks, all these great teams, for a team to go out there and possibly to win three straight Super Bowls, it's ridiculous. It's unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, it's never been done. It's never been done. And what we're seeing is, look, especially with the moving parts in today's game, right, the salary cap and all that, it's impossible to do what they're doing, and yet they're doing it.
Everything we say about Bill Belichick, we have to say about Andy Reid. It is as well prepared, as well coached, and as well executing in situational football as a team that we've ever seen.
All right, Hugh, let's attack this from a couple things.
Right on the line.
Well, we're trying to prevent that from happening. First, do you agree with them? If the Chiefs win, is this the best dynasty ever? So we have the 70s Steelers, you got the 49ers in the 80s, you got the Cowboys in the 90s, you got the Patriots of the 2000s, and now the Chiefs. Is this the best?
I hear what they're saying about the three-peat.
Because no one's ever done it.
But, man, it's something to be said about the evolution of Tom Brady.
And the longevity.
The longevity, the multiple receivers, the... Was it Julian Edelman's and the Wes Welkers of the world?
Who's the beginning? It was David Patton and Troy Brown.
Man, there's something to be said about that, man. And, you know, I know we're all prisoners of the moment, but I hear what they're saying because of the year that Patrick Mahomes had. And not only that, for me having a little bit more insight on it, the focus that he's had and what I heard that he had immediately after the ring celebration, the ring ceremony. You know, so there's something to be said about that and the way that you got here. So I hear what they're saying. So, yeah, I guess with all that being said, yeah, I can see that.
So the way I view it is they're in the greatest run, like a three-year run ever. Okay? No one's ever won three in a row. There's something, though, about the Patriots doing it over a lot of time. Right? Yeah. It was 20 years,
I mean,
different
the
iterations.
Patriots, the Patriots were the team that you was like, damn, after a while, you was like, man, what? Why we got to see them all the time?
And they fell a little bit, and then they came right back and kept going again.
It was a nice run. And it's so recent. When you talk about all those other runs, you're talking about a while ago.
70s,
like
the Pittsburgh
Steelers and all the other stuff. So you had the Steelers run, and then you had like 10 to 15 years of a drought. This is almost on the heels.
It was right after.
Yeah, it's on the heels
of what the Patriots did. And so that's why it lives fresh in everybody's mind. But I think the three-peat thing, if they do it, which they're not, that would put them over the top.
The craziest part is when you think about the times they haven't won since Mahomes became the starter. They lost to the Patriots in overtime in the 2018 title game. So they were nearly in the Super Bowl that year. And then they lost to Joe Burrow at home in the second half of a title game. And they lost to Brady in the Super Bowl, right? The 7 years that Mahomes has been a starter, the three they haven't got to or won the Super Bowl, they were right there. I mean, they were either in it or they lost in the title game. It is a ridiculous 7 year run to start a career. Seven straight title games? I mean, my goodness.
And he's already, he could lead a game today. He going to Ken.
Well, we got to stop this. Because you know what? I don't want to hear the debates. Have they passed the Patriots? Is this the greatest dynasty of all time? I do think three in a row is. I never thought I'd see three in a row. I mean, Hugh, you guys went through this to a little bit lesser extent, but how hard is it to get back up after a long run and to do it all over again? Because you guys kept getting to the title game. They keep getting to the Super Bowl and now trying to win it three in a row.
Yeah, it was tough. And I remember the last time that we lost, man. I remember vividly thinking, like, damn, how can I mentally prepare for this kind of letdown again? It was tough. And to think of what they're going through or what they've been through, it's different because they won and they actually got over the hump.
Well, they have the motivation to do it again.
Yes, we didn't get over the hump. And that's what made it hard because we always got to that one point and never got over that hump when I was here until we finally did. And even when we got over it, I think that it's fair to say that a lot of people were just happy at that point just to get past that obstacle because it was so hard to get past. Yeah. Now you have a guy who, like I told you earlier, from a friend of mine told me that he got his ring and it was like, hey, we're going to do it again.
Patrick.
And now he's here. Patrick Mahomes is here again. And it's one of those things, man. It takes a lot of resolve. It takes a lot of fortitude to have that mindset to get back to this point. It's not easy to do. And then you think about the kind of season that he had for him was not statistically wasn't a great season. Wasn't a great season at all.
Well, they lost the number one wide receiver in, like, what was it, September, October, where Rasheed Rice went down? Yeah, it's the way I view it right now, Patriots are one, Chiefs are two. I put these two above the old ones because the salary cap makes it harder. Like, not taken away from the teams the Steelers had. They were amazing, I'm sure. And the Niners with Montana and the Cowboys. But different with a salary cap. It's harder to do this now. The league is set up to stop this, and these teams just keep rolling. 215-592-9494. But the coolest thing is the Eagles can get in the middle of it again, right? They got in the middle of a Patriots three-peat in 2017, and they could stop the three-peat now. The Eagles keep finding their way into the middle of these discussions with these teams going for dynasties or in dynasties. Andy in Westchester's up. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Sorry about that.
Just had a little cry to get out, Andy. No big deal.
You're crying
out? I wasn't crying. But I'm not above it.
No, I'm not either. When we do it on the air, we'll play it for everybody.
I'll cry.
Yeah, well, not today. So, anyway, I think I have Saquon on the top. He's done more in his first year than Harper did in the first few years, and neither of them has a ring, if that's what you're going to base it on. Although I fully expect that Saquon will in a couple of weeks.
So you're right on all that. Though I do think the degree of difficulty for Harper was harder, right? The Phillies, they were pretty irrelevant when he got here. The Eagles, they have an infrastructure where he could come in here and just be, you know, play like an MVP because everything around him. Bryce did win an MVP in 2021, and they didn't make the playoffs.
Fair enough, but I just in terms of I'm looking at immediate impact, I guess, and that's what to me he's the best signing for that reason, and I expect more of him obviously in the long run because the Phillies aren't. It doesn't look like they're going to do anything anyway. So, we're running back the same team, essentially. So I don't expect Harper to really get a ring in the next few years either.
Boy, you know, and then, well, obviously this conversation will be more for the spring and when we get closer to baseball. It'd be such a disheartening and disappointing thing if Bryce doesn't get one, right? You know, just, and I know he's got a lot of years left, but the reality is the last 3 years, Andy, might have been their best shot, and they didn't get one yet.
No. No, I agree. And I wanted to quick go on beyond that on Saquon, just with the Super Bowl coming, because a lot of people have been talking about the refs and how that's going to pan out, because I don't like blaming refs. I mean, it is frustrating sometimes. You could look at any given play, our defensive line's being held. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But what I was wondering, and it's kind of a question for Hugh, I don't know if either of you guys would know, with the way Mahomes flops, in hockey there is a penalty for diving.
Is there anything like that in football, like unsportsmanlike? Would they ever call something like that?
I don't believe so. No, I mean, they wouldn't call anything, right? Like, if let's just say the quarterback flops out of bounds, it would be a no call. I don't think. I mean, I guess unsportsmanlike opens it up to if it's egregious.
Yeah, I could see like an excessive, like if you're doing it a lot and the refs are like, hey, dude, you do that again. Like, that's an unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, but I would think, and Andy, it's a good question. Good phone call. I would think it's a warning before it's just a flag. I mean, it's so, I've never seen that. Hugh, could you imagine throwing a flag flop? No.
And I think the way that he does it, it's pretty genius.
It is.
I mean, it's
I would do it too.
Like, I mean, it's like he get pushed a little bit and, you know, you can't get just like this. Think about it like this, people. You can't gauge the power in which the guy's pushing him, because watching Jalen Carter slap that offensive lineman this weekend, I didn't think he hit him that hard, but obviously he did. You know,
grown
what I mean?
Man.
I like the idea of a flag for a flopper.
He slapped smoke out his ass, though. He slapped smoke out of him.
So is any sport do that besides soccer? Like basketball doesn't
No, hockey.
Do it.
Hockey, you'll go to the box if you flop.
Okay. Yeah, so there's more precedent. So basketball is the one where you probably see it the most, and they don't do it. They don't call anything. Or they could just not call it.
I wish they would, man.
Flopping has ruined the game.
Well, it's just, yeah, like it's.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it would hurt us. I mean, Joel Embiid does it all the time.
Yeah, I'm
Joel Embiid just the size.
Sixers are so like out of sight, out of mind.
Like, in big games, Joel will just like he flops.
Sure. The push off foul thing NBA? Like they've tried to eliminate that, so they're I guess inching closer to doing something like that. But other than that, I mean. You don't get one for just taking a dive.
No, and here's the thing. Nothing's going to change between now and next Sunday, so let's not hit Patrick Mahomes when he's about to fall down, because they're just going to call a foul on the
Eagles. Yeah, let's be smart.
Yeah, the one thing they have to coach up and be ready for, Hugh, is the thing he does when he pretends he's running out of bounds, and then you pull up because you don't want to hit him, and then he just like, I'm going to get 4 yards.
What's the play there? Do you just sort of like make yourself big and try to just usher him out of bounds?
Like a big hug?
Well, make sure he goes out of bounds, but the problem with that is, if you're a DB or somebody, he might try to sun you. He might try to run you over.
Well, you know what? I hope he tries that with Cooper.
Well, we saw with Derrick Henry.
That's right.
If he
wouldn't stand a chance.
No, not against the Mighty Whiteys. Bruce in DC. What's up, Bruce?
Mighty Whiteys is so funny.
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Hey,
man.
Bruce.
How you doing?
Good, Bruce. What's up?
I'm just chime in on this discussion, man. Y'all had me dying laughing on those crying noises earlier, man.
There's a lot of it going on around here, Bruce.
Yeah, that was weird.
Hey, well, no, especially on that morning show. You know, I'm gonna tell you, I've never called that morning show for a reason. I call you guys. I do the afternoon, and sometimes I chime in the evening. I cannot stand the whiny, and I think it really comes from Joe. On just about all the sports.
We love those guys.
Yeah,
we love those guys.
I like Joe.
Yeah, they got their takes. Cool. They got a good show. We love those guys. But when they're crying, we got to play when we get that.
Yeah, when he cried, it is funny.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to get him after the Super Bowl, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get him. It's going to be hilarious.
No, I'm sure it'll be funny.
Yeah. This whole thing about this is an easy answer. When it comes down to Bryce, I mean, he still is the face of the Phillies and the franchise in the city. And see, with Bryce was smart. He said aside from his play, he was smart enough to figure out that he tethered himself to the Philly fanatic, which is really pretty much not only just known in the city but nationally and worldwide. And that's how, you know, it boosted his popularity even more in his marketing of being the guy for the city. But of course, Saquon has to win the Super Bowl. I'm pretty much lockstep with everybody else. Well, Saquon brings it home, especially, he's on the verge of, you know, doing two things, breaking that 2,500-yard record. He's going to do that. And when he wins the Super Bowl, there's no doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he supplants Bryce
unless they win another championship or something along those lines.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. That's an interesting point. They both have more time, right? We're just kind of in the moment here, and we'll see how it goes. But they, yeah, I mean, Bryce has years to go. I mean, I think Bryce ahead of him now. But if Bryce wins one, he wins one. We shall see. Bruce, appreciate the call. Bruce brought something different to the conversation that no one's brought up.
What's that?
Well, he's giving extra points to Bryce, and I'm going to use this word. He didn't. For the pandering.
I was thinking it when he said it.
Well, I mean, part of his play is enormous. His stature on the team is enormous. He helped him get to a World Series, Bethlehem at the Bank. But part of the connection people have to Bryce Harper isn't just that he's good.
Pandering chief.
Well, like, he embraced the city. And Saquon doesn't have to. Saquon is, like, from Whitehall.
Well, he embraced the city.
No, but right.
But it's in a different, embraced it in a different way.
And I don't think, like, Bryce was, he had no connection to Philadelphia before. Like, this is Saquon's home, right? Yeah. He grew up in the Lehigh Valley. He doesn't probably feel he has to embrace here. He's from here.
Yeah.
But Bryce has done that, and we hear what our callers. People love that.
Yeah, and when I say panda in chief, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not trying
it sounds
to be.
It.
Well, I've heard other people say it.
And you know, it's a good line.
It's a good line, but it's
you know
like,
who I've heard say it? Mad Mike.
Yeah?
Tell you all you need to know.
Well, okay, well, if Mad Mike says it, then Bryce, I take it back. I don't, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful, because I think it's great. I think people love that. I think that was one of the reasons why, when you got here, people endeared themselves to you.
It definitely is part of the story.
And the fact that, you know, every game, before the game, you're doing the fit check, and you've influenced a lot of people in the way that they dress when they go to the game.
And I hate to bring this up, because he's a changed man, but Bryce used to be a Cowboys fan.
I know. I mean, but no one cares.
It's a problem. How do you know he's not still a Cowboys fan?
Well, I mean, he's embraced the Eagles.
Yeah, he's a Panther in chief.
I mean, you're right. So, like, we don't know if it's authentic or not.
I mean,
I'd like to think he didn't care as much. Like, I don't think it was a diehard Cowboys fan, so, like, he can't change his stripes.
Yeah, right. My guess is, based on his age, we know he was a Yankees fan growing up. He's talked about that. He wanted to play for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably liked Duke basketball. He probably, like, you know, he liked those teams, the 90s Cowboys. Like, whatever. When he was a kid, he was a kid. I just think it's a part of the story, Hugh, that it's interesting when you look at these two guys. One guy has fully embraced it, and I don't even think Saquon has to because he's from here. But I do think for people, like, the love of Bryce isn't just because he hits 30 high home runs a year. They love him because he loves the city.
Yeah, and he chose us.
Yeah, yes.
And he chose us.
Yep.
And that's why he wanted to get more money before the season started.
You know what's funny you said that? I just saw in the last break an article that Saquon Barkley, after the season, is well within his rights to ask for a contract extension or a new deal.
And who's going to tell him no after he wins the Super Bowl?
Well, I don't know what they would do. They did tell T.O. no with the same situation.
But that was a different regime.
It was Joe Banner.
And you know, Howie, I'll tell you this. I'll say this. I don't know if Saquon is going to ask for more money, but if he was, I like the fact that he's going to ask Howie.
And not Joe Banner.
Yeah. I mean, and I like Joe. But Joe, and I think Joe's learned from his mistakes. But I think Howie has a finger on the pulse of this thing. And I think that he does a better job of communicating the expectations to the players than Joe did.
It is ironic. T.O. was probably the most high-profile free agent to have a huge impact here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He asked for a new contract right after that big year, and that part of
and
the
I
problems.
Think, I think part of the reason why it didn't happen is because Joe felt some kind of way. Joe was a numbers man, like straight up and out. Joe really didn't interact with the players much. Joe didn't come around as much.
And it was only after the first year of the deal. Like, yeah, maybe if it was
and
later
Joe
on.
Joe was standoffish. Yeah. I think that if Howie was presented to that with that, I think Howie would be more in a position to communicate what the expectations are. Say, hey, man, you know, we just paid. You know, I think it would be a better rapport.
I'm sure it wouldn't be as adversarial. Yeah, yeah. I mean, also Saquon wouldn't be doing sit-ups in a driveway somewhere. I mean, I don't think it'd get to that point. But I hadn't thought about that. Saquon asking for more money after this season? I mean, if you're going to ever do it, this is the time to do it, right?
I will say this, too. And for Saquon, if he does decide to do that, which, like you say, is well within his rights, I hope it's not in a way where it is adversarial because, you know, fans hear that and they might feel some kind of way about that.
Well, Bryce is beloved, but a lot of our listeners did not like the I didn't like the request. I mean, you have 8 more years left in your contract. Let's take a deep breath. Let's go to Mad Mike. He heard his bat signal. What's up, Mike?
Hold up. Mad Mike calling in?
He's here.
I heard you in a couple days.
First off, that's my line. I came up with it, and it is meant to be disrespectful because he is the panderer in chief because he's a nerd. So, anyway, I'm just –
I'm just looking forward to that first time Saquon breaks the 60-yard touchdown and offensive holding is called and all the Eagles fans freak out on Twitter. That is what I'm looking forward to.
He's back in.
He just wants, you just want to watch the world burn.
Really,
Mike.
Really honest with it. The Eagles aren't winning the Super Bowl. They want this three-peat. Kansas City's winning this. The refs are going to help them win it.
Oh,
and
no.
The Eagles will be 0-2 against the Chiefs. And you guys will have to be in the offseason crying, well, we did all these games. What do we do? And then it's another mess up.
I like how he just dropped the mic and said that.
I know, but I can't handle the idea of us doing 6 months on the refs. If the Eagles lose, it's because themselves, Mike, not the refs. Come on.
Nope, it's going to be because I'm going to enjoy it anyway because that's definitely what's happening.
Well, of course you are. I mean, every time
guys, I'm sorry. You know, I'll be really honest. Happy sports talk is the worst. I prefer chaos. I prefer everything up in flames. It's not fun. This is unfun. But and if anything, Jalen Hurts.
He'd
be like, hey, Saquon, take half my contract because I don't deserve it, and you deserve way more money because I stink, and you're the only one making us win.
Well, that's actually kind of interesting. Jalen Hurts pay cut to pay Saquon more. Mad Mike, we appreciate it. How do you think that would go over, Hugh?
I don't know.
Probably not well.
You know what? I was about to say something stupid, but I knew the answer. I was like, oh, Jalen might do that, but I know Jalen ain't about to do that.
No, if he was not going to do that.
Ain't nobody about to do that.
Man. Take a haircut to pay Saquon more. Come on. 215.
I like him. I don't like him that much.
592-9494. Has Saquon Barkley surpassed Bryce Harper in the all-time Philadelphia free agent list? Not yet. Not for me. Are you there? Should the Eagles be the favorite in this game? Mad Mike painting a harrowing picture of a holding call in the first quarter that's going to make us all flip out. Plus, we come back. We get to an interesting matchup in this game involving Saquon. That's next. Your calls. It is Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.